Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from not one but two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when their friends don't know whether they should wait to buy the new iPhone. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. And today is a special day. It's a holiday.
You're right. And that holiday is, of course, the Close Your Rings Challenge. And we saw, where did you see it? Did somebody, your friend Nick texted you?
My friend Nick. Shout out to Nick in case he's watching.
He does watch pretty often, so he might be there.
Yeah.
Although that's normally on a Sunday. Anyway, point being, the Close Your Rings Challenge, if you're back in the U.S., you've still got, if you're on the East Coast, you're done. You're screwed. But if you're on the West Coast and you're watching live, quit the stream right now and go to your nearest Apple store because you can get your very own free Close Your Rings Challenge pin. In fact, I will now demonstrate by putting this on the lapel of my jacket that you don't have because you didn't bring it because you're a fake podcast host and friend.
Well, maybe.
So let's go ahead and we'll apply right to the lapel. I've never... it doesn't really want to go.
Yeah.
It's a thick... I don't want to stab myself. I got it. Yes. For audio listeners, that probably was an odd moment, I'll admit. But look at that.
It's beautiful.
Oh. Yes.
There you go.
Ha ha ha.
It's a very nice pin. It's pretty high quality, and you just walk in. They're very secretive about it.
They are.
The guy literally, he opened his sleeve, and he was like, "Let me see what we got in here."
Oh, you want some of this, the good stuff?
Yeah.
I think I got a few left. Let me talk to the boss.
Yeah.
it was quite an interesting interaction.
It was really funny. But if you know. So you show up to the Apple Store. You ask for one of these pins. They will give it to you
for free. If they charge you money, you've gone to the wrong dealer.
Yeah.
That's going to be $50.
I wonder if we can scalp them yet. Let's check eBay.
Yeah, does eBay have these yet?
I wouldn't be... I hate when it doesn't autofill and I just Google Ebb. Let's see. Apple Close Your Rings pin. I'm sure somebody already has this up. Yep, $40.
Oh,
we should flip these. Why would you...
of two for 80
Hang
bucks.
On a minute. We gotta share the screen here. A lot of two for 80 bucks. Hey, you know what? That's not even a good deal.
Yeah, it's the same price.
Buy two, get two.
Yeah.
Buy one, get another one.
Yeah, buy one and buy another one.
Yeah.
And then you get two.
That's a great promotion.
Yeah.
But look at this. 44. That's expensive.
Jeez.
I looked at their all new listing because everybody just went to the Apple store and thought, oh, I could make $50 off of this, I bet.
Yeah.
Let's see if anybody actually bought one of these. Oh my gosh, people are actually paying. Somebody paid $40 for this. It's free.
Yeah, why would you, why would you pay for it today when you could go get it today?
Yeah, tomorrow I get it. Limited edition!
Oh my
god. It's limited edition! Whoa!
That's ridiculous. There's so many of them sold. That's ridiculous.
Oh my god. We should go back to the Apple store.
Yeah.
We should.
We need to wear a disguise or something.
Sealed? What do you mean sealed?
Yeah, what does that even...
Look at this.
What the hell?
That's ridiculous. First of all, let's see what car this is.
Oh my god.
Well, okay. Look,
it's a BMW.
It is
3
a BMW.
Series.
I think you're right. It could be a 4 Series. It's the same sort of general interior.
Wait, really?
But no, yeah, you're right.
It's on purpose.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out though because we've got a carbon fiber insert here, and we've got this the red leather.
Right.
What year is this?
Looks like a 2016. I'm gonna go with.
I mean, we can only get so precise, frankly. But I'm thinking that it might be a 2018 M340i. Because that is a commonly spec'd interior. Or like a 20... I guess like a 2016, 2017.
That's what I was thinking.
No, it's not. That's not the right...
Oh.
The... No, it would be, is it a 5 series? Let's see if chat has any thoughts on it. No.
I don't think they care.
No, they don't care. Anyway, point being, people are inexplicably paying $35 for these free pins. That's capitalism for you, baby.
Yeah, that's hell crazy. Yeah.
So get out there, get your pins. That's free. That's free real estate, is what that is.
That's $50 in your pocket right there. If you don't want to keep it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Look at that. This is the most expensive part of this outfit.
Yeah, that's
true. I paid $28 for this jacket.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think the jacket's a better deal.
Yeah, I would say so. But for free, it's a pretty nice pin.
That's true. That's a good point. I also just noticed as I was playing with the jacket that the first episode, I turned this pocket inside out to be like a fake pocket square and completely forgot that I did that.
Yeah.
It's been like this for 4 years and I just haven't noticed. So there you go.
Should I look?
I don't think it is.
Well.
Oh, but now it's iconic. I have to keep it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so get your pin. By the time that we finished yapping about it, they're gone. So yeah. I guess you got to buy our pin. Price just went up, by the way. $70, and it's yours.
You have a hard bargain, but what are you going to do?
Lightly used.
Lightly. It's only been poked through one jacket.
Exactly. I could put it back in this, and nobody would know.
Yeah, sealed.
Sealed. Perfect condition. Yeah. No, that's exactly what we're going to do. I'll tell you what. You should get out there and get your pin, sell it for $30, and pocket that cash because you got iPhone season not too far away. It's around the corner. We're starting to get a lot more leaks, and to be quite honest with you guys, I'm sus.
I guess we're already more than half, right? We're like more than half of the way. The iPhone, because October, November, yes. December, January, February. Wait, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 7 months.
Yes, we are halfway.
Yeah, we're like a little more than halfway through the current iPhones.
So you've got, what does that mean then? 5 months left.
We've got May, June, July, August, and part of September. 4.5 months. Call it 5 months. So we've got 5 months until the new iPhones come out. It's crazy that we're already. I don't know.
It happens so fast. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel like it didn't do that in the past, and I don't know. Look. We're young. Mm-hmm. When the iPhone 5 came out, I was so excited. And, you know, they've always come out in September. It's not like that changed. But there was something. I don't think it's just time dilation as you get older. I swear there is actually a difference.
They put something in the water.
They did. Yeah, it's that fluoride.
That's what it is. It speeds up time.
It does. It's time juice.
Yeah,
They don't call it that, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty crazy. But anyway, let's pull up this
oh boy.
Okay. For those listening at home who won't have the gift of seeing this live.
Is that a gift?
Arguably not. Let me describe what we're looking at here. So on the left we see what looks like the iPhone 16. Very nice. Good design. The camera bump is nice. Then to the right of that,
I don't think anyone is seeing this.
Oh, you know what?
Not even the video viewers get to see this.
Nobody gets to see it.
You've been spared.
There we go. Here we go. On the left, we've got what looks like the iPhone 16, completely unchanged.
Sure.
Love that.
Great.
Then we've got the iPhone Air. And to be honest, I don't hate it.
That look with the bar like that.
Yeah, so it's a single camera. It's got a bar along the top with the flash off to the right and the camera on the left. I don't mind that.
It is not as bad as the other two.
Yes.
That I will give you.
Yes. So then I guess that brings us to the Pro and the Pro Max. And that's where everything falls apart. Things fall apart. It's all about the yams.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you could bury a lot of yams in that cavernous. This is no longer a camera bump. I think we have to coin the term camera compound.
I mean, it's certainly an island of sorts.
Yeah.
We have the dynamic islands. We have the camera.
The camera compound.
Camera compound. I like
that. That's what I'm going with.
I like it.
And, dude, it does not work. Look, we can make it bigger. Oh, it's even worse. It's just... See, the problem is the current camera bump makes sense because... And we've talked about this before. If you're going to have three cameras on the phone and you want them to have a similar perspective, that's the orientation. That is it. There's no other way to do that without it having... I mean, if you put the telephoto lens on the bottom, then it's going to be significantly lower down. So that might make a difference. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that bad. You know, Samsung does it. I'm sure it'd be okay. Mm. But I get why they do it this way. And then, of course, the other problem is if you put them all along the top, then you lose spatial video. Mm-hmm. So you can't go the Pixel route. You can't go the Samsung route. And anyway, even if you do, people are just going to say that they copied it. So they had to stick with the triangle. But why did we have to extend the bump to the other side, the continent here, and then, oh, camera continent.
Yeah.
That's better.
It's a good one.
We're coining the term camera continent. It's the biggest camera continent ever seen. Nobody's seen it bigger than this.
Yes, we'll give credit to my mom said it in the chat.
Oh, well. She did. Look at that.
So there you go.
Look at that. Turns out we're not the only technology experts.
Yes.
Our moms are technology. Well, my mom has never watched the show a single time, but your mom is a technology expert.
Yeah.
She always says she will, but then she doesn't.
That's so... I feel so bad for you.
R.I.P. But I'll tell you what. It's not as big of an R.I.P. as this camera continent. I do not like it.
It doesn't... And I'm going to be honest. I'm also not a huge fan of even the Air. It's not really as bad. It's more balanced. You got one circle on the left, one circle on the right.
Yeah.
And this, you know, the flash is obviously a lot smaller than the camera. That's a big-ass camera, by the way.
It is.
But if you're only going to have one camera, you know, you better have a big-ass camera.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. BAC, the back.
Yeah. And we got to get back... Speaking of back, we got to get back to that phone, too, because we had some thoughts about the iPhone Air, and I'm not... Mm. And we were hoping for flush cameras, which we're not clearly not getting here.
Dude. See, here's the thing. We were talking with Sam from Apple Track the other day. Yesterday, specifically. And the example that we brought up of, like, the last time that Apple had an established lineup that they said, let's introduce a special model. And the last example that I could come up with of that was the 12-inch MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when they announced the 12-inch MacBook, they said, today we're going to reinvent the notebook.
Right.
And they did. They legitimately did. And at the time, we chuckled a little bit. At the time, we were like, okay, haha, yeah, they reinvented the notebook. And then they go, oh, and we did it. And you're like, yeah, yeah, obviously. You wouldn't say we're going to reinvent the notebook, but then we gave up and we just did this. No. Yeah. So, like, yeah, we made fun of it back then. But looking back, the 12-inch Retina MacBook was absolutely a revolutionary device. Even though it was a failure, the technologies that it brought to us, for better or for worse, we had the butterfly keyboard, the Force Touch trackpad, terraced battery cells, USB-C. They integrated the speakers, were a massive improvement. They were the best speakers ever. And they integrated them with the antennas, which was very innovative, and they still do in some of their devices, like the MacBook Air, which help increase the battery capacity. Mm. They had, I can't remember what they called it, but it was like a wider aperture pixel for better contrast and brightness on the Retina display. The new design language that stuck around until like 2 years ago when the new MacBook Air came out. That thing was legitimately revolutionary. But as far as I can tell, the iPhone Air is just like a little bit less features and it's thinner.
Yeah. I mean, even like I have this beautiful M4 MacBook Air right here.
Yeah.
That I'm very jealous of. And and it's like, you look at this thing and there's so much DNA from the 12-inch MacBook that's still here. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, when that thing came out and it had one USB-C port, that was a big deal First of all, I mean, the fact that it was one port is a little bit rough, to be fair. But, like, the fact that it was just USB-C, and obviously in 2016 when the MacBook Pros came out and they were just USB-C, that was also kind of a thing. But, like, that was the start of it.
But that was the first – that literally was the start of, like, hey, USB-C is the future.
And that's all you need. And that's still
– and it's still with us.
Largely how it is. I mean, now we have, you know, HDMI and card reader on the MacBook Pro. But, like, but still USB-C
our otherwise. World overall is, yeah. Like – I absolutely. Remember making videos in 2015, 16, and 17 where people were like, oh, the stupid – people called them the dongle books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the dongle book. Everybody was like, oh, you got your dongles. Everybody hates your dongles. Well, guess what? Now everything is legitimately USB-C. If I get something, you know, some random electronic off of Amazon and it's not USB-C, I'm like, oh, what is this? Get this away from me. Even, you know, $20 accessories that aren't even, you know, electronically connected, but they plug in to charge are USB-C.
Yeah.
So they were right. They were right about the Force Touch trackpad. They were right about USB-C. They were right about increasing the battery capacity. They were right about a fanless notebook. They were early and it was bad, and the CPUs and the SSDs and the Thunderbolt connections and the Thunderbolt chips and the chipsets, and they all died. Yeah. So it was a terrible product, but they were right about nearly everything except the butterfly keyboard.
Yeah.
But look, it was a risk, and I would argue it paid off.
Yeah, I mean, in the long term, it definitely did. But I feel like this iPhone Air, like this, you look at this, I thought it was an iPhone SE.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense being an Air, but I thought it was an SE just looking at it. And even the SE, like the SE doesn't have that big camera bump. It's just the one camera. And I get that it's not as good of a camera, I'm sure. But, like, I don't know, man. I was really hoping for something more. Like, this picture right here where you see the four of them next to each other. Okay, the iPhone Air is ridiculously thin. I will give it that. It's like, mm-hmm. It's like the iPad Pro is ridiculously thin. This is ridiculously thin. Cool. But, like, is that it? Is the future just a really thin phone? Because we had that a while ago. That was the focus with, like, the iPhone 6 and the whole Bendgate thing and all that. Like, we've had thin phones. I'm not saying that we can't have them again, but, like, can't we have more than just, oh, it's really thin?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I think we're towing a delicate balance between – it is hard for Apple to win. I'll give them that because – we criticize them for not changing stuff. And then they say, let's make the thinnest iPhone ever. And we criticize them for being like, oh, well, it's just thin. However, the difference is that the Air is a new model. We haven't had something like that. And so I think for it to justify its existence, it has to be more than just like, hey, do you want an iPhone with less cameras, but it's thin? To me, that alone, I don't really... Now, I will say the size is intriguing to me. It's like about halfway between a Pro and a Pro Max. And that I could see being interesting because every year I obviously review multiple different iPhones and, you know, get a whole range of them. And every year I get the Pro and I go, oh, man, it is really small and I kind of like that. But then after a day or two, I kind of go, it's too small. I want more screen. But the Pro Max is a chunky phone. You know, I've been on Pro Maxes since the 12. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All Pro Max. And they're big. They are big phones and they can be a bit of a nuisance. They fall out of my pocket a lot when I'm driving. You know, it is a bit much. So if it were to just be, hey, this is a thinner phone that fits in the middle, I don't mind that. However, I'm looking at these pictures and I'm noticing sacrifices. Even on top of the camera, which we already know. And honestly, I think for me that rules it out because I use all the cameras all the time.
Fair.
So I don't think I could do a single camera. However, I will say this. Take a look at the bottom of the speakers down here.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is very interesting. On the Pro and the Pro Max, there's six speaker holes on either side. Now, obviously, I think the right one is microphone, and the left is microphone, the right is speaker, I think. Yeah. Oh, this is in a weird arrangement. And actually, there's more speaker holes on the Pro and Pro Max in the 17 than there are on the 16. I'm also noticing that as well. Yeah. But point being, you've got mic on the left, speaker on the right. On the Air, there's only two dots per side. So to me, that kind of indicates that the speaker is probably going to be really crap.
Yeah, the speaker could definitely be worse. I think battery life would be a huge concern. If the phone is going to be that thin, like, how much battery are they going to pack in realistically? If they can do some kind of crazy, like, new battery tech to get good battery life out of such a thin phone, like, that would be pretty revolutionary. That would be pretty cool. But, like, I don't know. It's so much thinner. And that was the thing. I feel like lately, you know, the past few generations and beyond that, the phones have gotten thinner, or the phones have gotten thicker. And we kind of welcomed that because we were like, okay, thicker phone, better battery life. It's a worthy trade-off. If they can't do good battery life in this thin phone, I don't know if it's worth being this thin at that point.
I agree. I don't know. I think my guess would be it's obviously a thinner battery, but a slightly bigger phone. I think it'll be about the same as the iPhone 17 Pro.
Okay.
Which, admittedly, as Pro Max guy for 5 years, and you're now more recently a Pro Max guy, when you go to the Pro and you've been living the Pro Max life, you kind of go, oh, wait a minute. I missed that battery. I really missed that battery.
Yeah.
And that would be a tough challenge to do that change. But what's interesting is I've pulled up here the rumors roundup that just came out today for the iPhone 17 Air. And they've linked all of the articles with the features that are expected. And we'll go through every single one of these features because I'm very meh about all of them, frankly. Because, I mean, half of these are just the same things that all iPhones already have. So let's go down the list here. Thinnest iPhone ever, measuring 5.5 millimeters at its thickest point, but up to 9.5 millimeters with the camera bump included. That is cool. Being super duper thin, I like that. Yeah. 6.6 inch OLED display with Face ID and a dynamic island. Yeah, I should hope so. ProMotion support. That's one that I'm glad. I don't think they would be able to get away with. People would not be cross shopping Pro and Air if you're giving up ProMotion. A lot of people.
A lot of the tech people, especially.
And then we've got A19 instead of A19 Pro, probably because it's thinner and for heat purposes. Sure. Honestly, that one I don't really care about as a sacrifice because the chips are all super, super fast. Mm-hmm. A single 48 megapixel rear camera. Okay. So that's basically the iPhone 16e for $600.
Surely it's got to be a better camera than that.
I'm sure it'll be whatever updates they give to the main sensor on the Pros.
But do you think that's only going to do, like, what zoom is that going to do?
Oh, one and two.
Seriously, you're not going to get 0.5, you're not going to get... can't cram 0.5. That all into one camera?
Nope, no way.
That's rough, though.
Yeah. No, the thing is, the ultra-wide camera... Because that's the thing, is the regular iPhone 17 gets the ultra-wide.
Yeah.
Everybody since the iPhone 12 has had ultra-wides. And I think Apple is maybe not realizing how many people use it. And I'm not talking about tech people. Like, it is a common Gen Z vernacular to say, let's take a 0.5 selfie.
Yeah, that's true.
That is something that my friends, I do that all the time. People do 0.5 selfies. And a lot of people probably don't even know that means that they have that whole other camera that they're using. I guarantee there's going to be Gen Z people around our age. You know, they're like 18 to 26. And they will buy an iPhone 17 Air because it's pretty and it's the new thing. And they're going to be like, why can't I take a 0.5 selfie on it? Guarantee that's going to happen.
No, I definitely believe it.
And the thing is, they've got this huge camera bar. They could have fit the camera in there. You could have just had it horizontal. Yeah. That's what I would have done.
I'm like, even if it doesn't support, like, spatial video or whatever, I feel like that's not that big of a deal.
Honestly, I don't give a crap about spatial video.
And I feel like the people that are buying the iPhone Air are not necessarily the people that are going to care as much about spatial video.
Also very true.
I feel like, so we'll go through the rest of these yeah. of these things, but I'll just say, and we can talk about this later, I feel like this is, you're buying this Air because it's like a statement piece. It's like, look at how thin and elegant my phone is.
Mm-hmm. And then they're going to put a big OtterBox on it.
Oh, can you, that should be illegal to make.
I agree.
Like, honestly, to have a case on this period, facts. Let alone a super thick case.
Facts.
But I feel like this, like you're buying this, it's a statement piece, but like not like you're, but you're giving up a lot to get mm-hmm. this. Like you're like this versus even a regular, like you get a little bit, you get it super thin, you get promotion, some other stuff, but like you're giving up the second camera, you're giving up. Let's get to this, you know, let's get to the, in two bullet points from now, that seems like a kind of a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'll say so. So 24 megapixel front camera, that's a new thing. That's a new upgraded selfie camera that I'm assuming is going to be across the range. So that's right. the same. Then a single speaker in the earpiece, no bottom speaker.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
How does that even, how is that, that's going to sound terrible.
Because the thing is, I obviously I don't use my speaker for music.
Right.
But I do use the built-in speakers very frequently.
Yeah.
Most people, when they watch TikTok at home, are using that built-in speaker or YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they're even just Twitter videos. I use that speaker. Voice memos from friends. Like, I use that a lot. And frequently, I'm on, like, higher volume. I'll, like, I'm watching something. Oh, let me set it down. I'm cooking. I'm whatever. And I'll just have it on that speaker because it's convenient. And it doesn't sound terrible. They've done a lot of work over the years. But the earpiece speaker, I mean, I just bonked it. Let's do a little example here. I'm going to play just a random one of my videos so I don't get copyright claimed.
Nice.
And I'm going to go to full volume, and then I'm going to cover this speaker. Now, I'm assuming that they're going to make the earpiece speaker louder, but
kept the M2 MacBook around when they introduced the M3 model at a higher price point. But this time, the M4 comes in at $999. And now with 16 gigabytes
this is full volume.
RAM, this is okay, a pretty much uncovered. Unbeatable package. And it fulfills Steve Jobs'
I feel like you lose a lot.
The original MacBook
the base, the lower.
17 years ago.
It's very
so today,
tame.
I want to talk about why this
it sounds a lot more muted.
Yeah.
Chip swap. Fits into this larger
like,
picture. And
I feel like all the background music is coming out of that channel.
Mm.
Now, obviously, one has to assume that they're going to make some upgrades to that single speaker. But that's also not keeping in mind that when you watch in landscape mode, you're not going to have stereo audio anymore.
Right.
That's, dude, that's tough. That is really tough.
Yeah.
Then we've got the Wi-Fi 7 chip. Cool. The C1 modem chip. Cool. eSIM only, no physical SIM slot worldwide. That's new, but cool.
Yeah.
USB-C port, no way.
Yeah.
High density battery, we'll come back to that. Camera control button, no way. Action button, whoa. MagSafe, whoa. The thing that every iPhone has had for 5 years now, no
except
way.
For the SE. Or the whatever it's called, 16E.
Yeah, the stupid phone that everyone already forgot about.
Yep.
And then 12 gigs of RAM, exceeding the minimum for Apple Intelligence. Well,
oh,
I should
good.
Hope so.
I'm glad we can use Apple Intelligence.
I was worried I wouldn't be able to. I don't know what I could do without my Genmoji.
Yeah.
That's tough. But yeah, like, to me, that feature list does not sound particularly compelling.
No, I feel like this is this kind of phone, when this phone comes out, I'm going to be excited to go to the Apple store and hold one in my hands and like see it and be like, wow, this is so thin. It's so light. I don't know what else I'm going to care about, but I'm going to be like, wow, this is such a thin phone. It looks so beautiful. But like, I'm not going to buy one. The it's only one camera. It's missing the speakers. It has some, it's like in between the regular and the pro.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's also kind of not with the one camera, it's like worse than both of them, which is weird. But like in other ways, like it has promotion, which the regular one doesn't, which is nice. But like there's still, I feel like, enough missing here that a lot of people are not going to go for it. They'll get people to go for it. I think it's the people that would go for the regular 17. They could maybe try to upsell those people to the Air.
I'll tell you what though. Did you know what we didn't see in that picture?
What?
iPhone 17 Plus.
True.
So this is maybe for the Plus market. Because the 17, well, the Plus series, the what did they start that with? The 15 or the 14? I think it was the 14. The 14, 15, and 16 Plus have never really been, they never really sold very well. I remember when the 14 Plus came out and we were kind of like, okay, I could kind of see that. But all the reports of sales figures said that it was kind of underwhelming. And they kept it around and they updated it. But I think the problem is, honestly, it's not really a problem. People just buy the pros even if they don't need it. I don't think there's that many people that are going, well, you know, I want to get the regular iPhone. I don't want to spend as much as a pro, but I want the big screen and I want this and I want don't want that. And Apple creates all of these very specific niches. Mm-hmm. When I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I was talking to my friend the other day and she went into the Apple store to buy an iPhone. She bought an iPhone 15 Pro. And I was like, well, out of curiosity, what made you buy the 15 Pro? And she said, well, I wanted a white iPhone and they didn't have a white regular, so I got the Pro. That is legitimately the only reason that she got that phone.
Yeah, and I feel like it makes sense. Like, I'll give them. I've changed my opinion on the Air a little bit just now, because I feel like I agree that the Plus has been a boring phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Mini was cool because it was small. It was the same phone but smaller, but that was kind of cool. The
fact I liked it. They should bring it back, even if nobody buys it.
And there are diehard fans. My friend Dave misses that phone. He wants that phone back. So I can see that. Okay, the Plus is boring because it's like the same phone but bigger, but there's already the Pro Max, which is bigger. And I get that it's less expensive to get the Plus, but it's like still kind of boring. I feel like the Air, it's like the Plus, but it's not quite as big, which I think is a good thing. It's still bigger, but it's not all the way. It's another option. And they're going with the super thin, like elegant, like it's pretty clear. It's a little bit better defined of a product. And it stands out more. It's more unique than just, you know, base iPhone, but bigger.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'm not going to buy the Air, but I will give them some props for doing a little bit more than just the Plus. It's better than the Plus.
I agree. Really realizing that, thinking about it more as a replacement to the Plus, makes me appreciate it more. I think if you're going to have a four iPhone lineup, I'd rather have that than the Plus. And I'm glad that the Plus is kind of the bare minimum, right? It's just, hey, we made it a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm now curious about is I want them to do the same special treatment to the MacBook again. I want a special in-between MacBook that's like a 15-inch display that's like kind of halfway between a Pro and an Air. Maybe it could have like an M4 Pro chip. Or no, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not as clearly defined. But honestly, this isn't clearly defined either. So frankly, who knows? I think it's an interesting set of compromises. I think the biggest problem Apple is going to have is I feel like they're kind of going to appeal more to enthusiasts than they are to the regular people. Right. Mm. So think about it this way. The iPhone, the Plus was, hey, you don't really care about the iPhone, but you probably want a big screen. So here you go.
Right.
That makes sense, but it didn't work. So they went back to the drawing board and they said, okay, well, what if it's less expensive than the Pros and less features than the Pros, but it's a different type. It's super thin and it's elegant and it looks nicer. I'm assuming I don't know actually if it's going to be a titanium design. Probably should be. Otherwise, this thing's we're going to have Bendgate 2.0 on our hands, I guarantee.
Yeah.
And I get that. However, I don't know. I think it's going to struggle to find. I think you're going to have people who would buy the regular who are like, but it's not as big as a Pro Max. So I'll just buy a Pro Max. And I think you're going to find people who have a Pro who are going to go, I can't really do without the cameras. That's where I'm going to be. And you're going to have people with the Pro Max saying, well, I can't do without my battery life. And you're going to have people buying the regular who are going, well, why would I pay more for the same battery life and less cameras?
Yeah. See, I feel like this phone, I feel like this phone has to appeal to the base iPhone purchasers. Yep. I feel like it doesn't appeal to the pros for, I mean, we've already talked about the reasons, the cameras, mm-hmm. the battery life, whatever, the speaker, stuff like that.
Right.
I feel like it's going to be for the regular people. And I almost wonder if it is enough. The fact that it's like this thin, like when I, like, I don't know, like even the iPad Pro, when mm-hmm. they made that thinner, and like when I see that thing, I'm like, damn, this is so thin. Like this is like really, like that, it could be enough. It could be such a statement piece of this like super thin phone that like maybe that's enough. Cause like you said, your friend who said, I bought the more expensive phone because I wanted it in a certain color. Maybe some people will say, oh, I bought this phone because it looks cooler because it's super thin. Maybe probably. They do good colors for it too.
I hope.
If they do good,
they better.
If they do like really like nice, like if they really lean into this like super thin, elegant, like nice thing, and they do some like really nice colors for it, then I could see almost, because I feel like, okay, the pro colors are usually pretty boring. It's usually like the color of the year is sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not. Not my favorite color. And then the other ones are kind of boring. The regular base colors are like, well, when they have colors, they're either like super like washed out, like a tiny little hint, or like, I don't know, what if they did like a super saturated color, or they did like the something, maybe something in between, like something in between a pro color and a regular color. So it's not just like bright honking red, but it's
honking
like,
red. Yeah, it's but like it's a some like Cabernet. Suave.
Yeah, like some fancy, like, you know,
give
what
me
I mean?
A mauve iPhone.
Yes.
Chartreuse.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's, you know what? You're right.
If they do the colors right and they do the marketing right, I think that it could definitely, this, I'm just imagining like celebrities with this phone.
Especially if they, dude, I'm telling you, I was joking, but chartreuse, mauve, you know, Cabernet.
Yeah.
Those unironically would be sick. And if they did like a whole, like imagine if they ran like a whole ad campaign of like fancy people at a gala. Oh, you have Cabernet? Oh, I have champagne.
Yeah.
And like if they did like a whole little funny bit, that would be good marketing. Look, see, we're figuring out how to sell this phone just with paint.
Yeah. Honestly.
But realistically, I think this is going to be a hot take. I think Apple is making a mistake. Because it's clear that they've been trying a bunch of stuff. And typically when we question Apple, we always preface this by saying, well, Apple clearly knows more than we do. But I would argue that they actually don't. Because over the last couple of years, they've been really hemming and hawing and trying a bunch of different stuff in the mid-range. They tried a Mini. They failed. They tried the Plus. They failed. They tried doing an E, which doesn't seem particularly to have roused people's excitement, let's say. And now they're trying an Air. So clearly, I think at some degree, they don't actually know what they're doing. And so therefore, I would like to give a bit of advice. I think what Apple needs to do is make the ultra premium iPhone. They need to make a $1,400 phone on top of the Pro Max. And they need to call it the Ultra or the Max or the Super Mega or whatever. And they need to give it a sapphire screen. They need to give it some, like, just dial everything up. Make it thinner and give it, somebody mentioned earlier, a silicon carbide battery. Some, like, absolutely insane tech. Give it a 20x telephoto lens. Give it a fourth camera. Give it, like, cinema stabilized, like insane sensors. They need a Halo iPhone. The problem that you will always run into, and we are the manifestation of that problem, is we hear, oh, iPhone Air. We go, huh, that actually sounds really interesting. And then as soon as you see that you have to give up any feature that you currently have on your phone, it's out of the running. I'm not giving up the cameras, and I'm not giving up the battery life. There's a very good chance that I will buy an iPhone 17 Air, and I might even keep it if I really, really like it, but it will only ever be a secondary device. And that's only because I'm a tech YouTuber and I can maybe justify it and deduct it on my taxes. But if I'm a regular guy just buying a phone, straight up, the cameras, the speaker, I'm already out.
No, I agree. And I think, like, funnily enough, I think it's, maybe it's not that funny, but I think it's a lot easier for Apple to do that than to do the mid-range thing.
Yep.
Because the mid-range thing, it's hard because you're like, you're in between the lower end and the higher end, and you have to pick and choose what you're taking from the higher end, what you're taking from the lower end. How can you take the right combination of things to get the price right while also making a compelling product that people are actually going to buy? When you make the iPhone Ultra, it's just balls to the wall. I'm doing we're putting everything in.
No compromise.
Price be damned. It's going to be expensive, but people are still going to buy it. I mean, Lord knows we're both going to buy it.
Oh, yep. So, and see, that's exactly my point, right? You're not going to sell the Pro and the Pro Max diehards on an Air.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not. Maybe, just maybe, someone will buy an Air this year and then go back next year, and then it'll feel like a bigger upgrade because they'll get their cameras back.
Yeah.
That is realistically the most that I could see happening. But, I mean, honestly, there might be a couple of people who buy Pro Maxes normally who will say, oh, now I can save a bit of money and it's thin and I don't care about the cameras. Sure. Yeah. But even then, that is Apple losing a Pro Max customer, not gaining someone who would have bought a regular iPhone. So to me, that seems like you're kind of not really winning in that trade. So to me, I feel like the answer really is ultra premium.
Yeah, I think, and I get like, okay, the mid-range, there's probably, I don't even know, there's probably more customers in the mid-range,
mm-hmm.
or there's probably, they can attract more customers or upsell more customers from the 17 to a 17 Air. I get why the mid-range is attractive, but I feel like there are enough diehard Apple people, and like, even not diehard Apple people, but like people that want like an ultra phone.
Right.
I'm sure there are enough people that it's worth it for them to do it. And I'm almost wondering, like, it creates another tier. So, you know, you have the regular tier, the Pro and Pro Max kind of are in the same tier. It's just different screen sizes. And maybe there's like a camera difference occasionally. And then there's like the Ultras, like another tier. I'm just trying to think of adding another tier in the upper end, if that helps anything, if you can like shift any of the other tiers around to like make more room for a mid-range. I don't know if that actually helps or not, but I think regardless, having that like that upper tier, you're definitely going to get people, and it seems like an easier problem to solve, because like, you know that if you make this phone, like, you can kind of imagine what's going to go in it, how much it's going to cost, and you know people are going to buy it. Versus the mid-range, it seems like, you know, like you said, Apple's been trying a lot of different things and they haven't like super been working, you know, super well. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. And I like this comment here from Jeff saying Apple's problem is they are protecting their other products so they won't go hard on mid-range stuff. And I think that is the case.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rare situation where a lot of the technological limitations, it's not them just removing features out of spite, because it is a 5.5 millimeter thick iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's going to need strengthening on the inside, and it's going to need battery to actually be usable. So they have to, I mean, a lot of the reason that they're removing stuff is literally just physical space, cameras, speaker, all of that stuff. And the fact that they're fitting MagSafe on it and they didn't put that in the 16E.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
This is that much thinner, like that battery is going to be literally 2 millimeters thick.
I know. And that's what worries me about it.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I'm very curious to see what Apple does. I kind of agree with you. I feel like this could end up becoming another mid-range, maybe not failure, but like another attempt that doesn't really stick the landing like we've seen in the past. I wouldn't be surprised.
That was a good phrase. That was a great podcast like thing to say.
I hope the
doesn't stick the landing.
I hope the AI thing clips that clip.
Yes.
And then we can post it on wherever you post podcast clips.
Dude, and the actually, you know what? I want to talk about, speaking of AI, I want to talk about Apple Intelligence. Because we're coming up on WWDC, which will mark a full year since Apple Intelligence was launched, and we still don't have the only useful feature from it, which is personal context. Personal intelligence, whatever they called it.
Whatever it was. I read some like article or something that said that that was a complete lie. Like that, really? that they never had anything like that working, and it was just marketing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. They didn't have it ready. It was like purely in concept stages.
Yeah, but they still like made that concept video and like marketed it.
They marketed the iPhone 16 based on something that didn't exist.
Do you think there's going to be like a class action lawsuit?
There already are.
I want to join that.
No, I agree. I think we should.
Yeah.
Because like seriously, it's cuz okay, here's the thing. People kind of point at that and they go, oh, this is so dumb. Everyone wants to make their buck because of Apple. But I say no. I think that being a nuisance to companies that play fast and loose with the truth is absolutely what you should do. I absolutely think that you should slap companies that do stuff like that with a class action lawsuit. Even if it's frivolous, even if you're not going to win, just bother them. Because you're selling tens of millions of devices based in large part on a lie. Every single piece of advertising about the iPhone 16 series has been Apple Intelligence. Apple Intelligence, oh my God, this is incredible, this is incredible. Meanwhile, they made a new Siri animation. That's it. There's nothing new that Siri can do. Can't even turn off my freaking lights. Like, come on, dude. You cannot just go out there selling the phone saying built from the ground up for Apple Intelligence. How can you build it for something that doesn't exist?
Yeah, it's really, and I just got Apple Intelligence recently because my phone is in Spanish. So I just got it like a month ago when they launched it to Spanish and a few other languages. And I am like, I am not impressed at all. I turned on the features. I turned on the like the priority notifications and the notification summaries. The priority notifications is like okay. I don't think it seems that useful, but like it does an okay job of figuring out like what's a priority and what isn't. It's not always accurate, but the summaries are like so often wrong.
Yeah,
like it'll take, especially like it'll I use Telegram a lot, and it'll say like, you know, if someone like, let's say like someone reacted thumbs up to your message, and Apple Intelligence will misconstrue that as like that person said that message instead of reacting to it.
Yes.
Or you'll get random. It's like it doesn't get the subtleties. Like I keep seeing these things where Apple Intelligence will say something and then I'll read the thing and it'll be like the opposite. Like it's not that this person recommended it. It's that like it was recommended to that person. Like, all these things where it's just like completely wrong. And I'm like, I would rather not see that than see it, but I like seeing it because then I look at it and I'm like, haha, that's so stupid. Like what an idiot to like not understand that nuance, you know?
No, seriously. And I mean, if we go through every single Apple Intelligence feature, right? Notification summaries are bad, and really I keep them on only because they're amusing. They never, ever provide me useful information, ever. Because you just can't trust it. And then we've got Genmoji. I never use Genmoji ever because they look terrible and they get stuck. They stay in the recently used emojis thing and they make it look like a pile of junk.
Oh, it also doesn't work for me. Really? I've been able to generate like two, but every time I try to generate almost every time it just says like, oh, no results. Like I'll type in a prompt, whatever, and it just says, oh, no results. I'll try it again now. I just want to tell you this. Here's a text summary. Like I have three notifications from my friend.
Okay.
And it summarized it as, and we were talking about these pins, the pins that we talked about at the beginning. We were talking about, I texted him. I said, he told me about it. I texted him. I was like, hey, we got the pins. So the summary was missed city event, semicolon, we'll check it out later, semicolon, ask Luke to say hi. And what the actual texts were, missed city event, he said, I didn't make it into the city today. As in, I didn't make it to the city to go to the Apple store. There's never such thing as a city event.
Yeah, that doesn't. Where did that come from?
That doesn't make sense. We'll check it out later. He said, I want to check it out when I see you. He's coming to visit me in like 2 or 3 weeks. So when you say, we'll check it out later, that's okay, but that doesn't sound to doesn't mm-hmm. sound right to me. It sounds like, oh, like I'll see it like later today, whatever. Yeah. And then ask Luke to say hi. It's because he said, tell Luke I say hi. So he's not ask Luke to say hi means that he's asking you, like, say hi to him, not for me to say hi to you on his behalf. So all of that, I would argue all of that was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just like, I see that and I think it's funny, but I'm just like, why do I want that? I'd rather just read what he actually said, and I can read quickly and I can understand quickly because I'm not an idiot, right? And then it's like, I don't know. It's just such a waste. It's always like a waste of time.
Oh my God, wait, this is actually, so I have a similar one because I'm looking at my notification summaries for Amazon. I just did a couple of returns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not technically wrong, but it grammatically makes no sense. So one of the notifications here is, one of the notifications is arriving tomorrow by 10 p.m., and it's something shipped.
Mm-hmm.
The notification summary for that is shipped tomorrow.
That doesn't. Yeah.
How can you ship something in the future? Shipped in the future?
Dude, yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense.
And that's a minor one. Yours were honestly worse.
Yeah.
So the notification summaries are wrong. The mail summaries are wrong. The priority mail notifications are frankly annoying. I disabled that feature because it would just seemingly pick some random notification. Some of the ones that I got were like coupons, you know, the things that you always delete. It was like $10 coupon, and that was the top
mm-hmm.
notification out of 50 emails. Then it said, that's the one he needs to see. And it stays there because you can't dismiss it. It stays there until you delete the email itself.
Yep.
So it was there for 37 emails as I went through, and then it goes away. So that's annoying and wrong. Genmoji, bad, doesn't work, looks bad, stays in your tray.
Here's Genmoji. You can't see this. Here's Genmoji not working. I tried it in
no results.
It's just me. I just wrote Noah on a bicycle. I tried it in Spanish and English because my phone's in Spanish. And I set Noah. It's blue. It's like set to be me. Oh
my God! It says something isn't right.
And it's like no results. Like try something else. And I like keep trying different things, and it never works for me.
Does it do the same thing? Hot. Really?
Yeah.
What? That's
my
weird.
My phone like gets hot when I try to use this.
What the hell? That's crazy. What about Image Playground? Does that work? Because that's another thing that I never use because it's the dumbest, most idiotic feature. And every single one of these Apple Intelligence features dumbs the experience down. It makes the iPhone feel worse. It's literally the AI slop that we complain about all the time. Oh, God. What is this? That is slop.
Like, look at this. It's me with, like, nubs.
You have nub arms.
I don't have hands. I don't have arms. I'm just a nub. And it, like...
Good God.
It kind of looks like me, but it's so it's so smooth and, like...
They look so obviously AI generated. And the thing is...
And feel my phone. It's, like, not hot, but it's, like, warm.
Oh, yeah, it's... Oh, definitely. The rail over here, that's where the chip is.
It's definitely like warm.
And the thing is, oh, I accidentally broke it. I can give you a gorro de lana.
It looks so bad. Like, why would you ever want
this? The thing is, this is a feature that came out several months ago, and it already looks like it's years behind in technology compared to the newer image generators.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the problem of Apple. It just moves so slowly. Ew. They took forever. This is probably using some sort of like late 2023 image generation tech because they put a lot of the stuff on device and they don't update their models as often as other companies.
Mm.
So it's probably a year and a half, 18 months outdated at this point. And that is extremely obvious. And that's on top of the fact that even if it did look better, it's still freaking useless. I have never once generated a single item of value through, and even when I'm like, let me make a funny meme, nothing. You can't get it to do what you want it to do. If it does anything remotely similar, it looks weird and bad. I don't even like I don't even send them as jokes because it doesn't even like it's so much funnier to just find a random shit post off of Reddit than to make a Genmoji that is like arguably more accurate to the description at hand.
Yeah, and wait, I just want to quickly address the Chen is saying like you have to say person instead of like a name. That doesn't work for me either. Like, look, it's loading. I said person on bike. It still showed me. It was like Noah. And here, I'll do it in Spanish, persona in BC. Okay, so it's loading. See, it still has me. It says like Noah for whatever reason. This one it took a little while to load, and then it's like, oh, no results. So I'm saying person instead of Noah. I'm going to let it load. Oh, my God, it actually worked?
Whoa.
Wait, that's literally the first time that I've ever gotten a Genmoji with my face on it. Oh also, God. Feel how hot it is now. It's definitely hotter than it was.
Oh, God, yeah. That's noticeable. And, like, the second one why did it put you in the middle of Stonehenge? Like, they're just bad. And the thing is, even if you find one to use it, it's stuck there forever. There are some, like, random... I remember I think it was even in beta that I made some of these recently used ones, and they're still there. They didn't go away. I don't know how to get rid of them. Can you like, is there a way to throw them out?
It's a great.
Oh crap. I just added a horrifying emoji to this random group chat. Oh no.
Oh,
oh no. What have I done? Oh no. That was also sent 8 hours ago.
Oh no.
Oh God. See, this is what I'm talking about. AI sucks.
Oh boy. All right. I mean, it's such an easy target. I feel like we talk about it all the time, but like, how is it still this bad? Like, what are they gonna say at Dub Dub? Like, are they gonna start advertising new features that we're gonna get in another year from then? Are they gonna be like, all these great features we announced that still aren't out yet, they're still coming. Like, what are they gonna say?
That's a good point. Because you can't, if you say something else, how can you announce future features when the previous ones aren't even out yet?
I swear, if they announce, like, new features for Apple Intelligence, like... They need to get out there and like apologize. They will never do that, but that's what they need to do.
Bro, I'm gonna just say it. This is Apple's biggest debacle ever. Certainly since the Steve Jobs era. Yeah. Certainly 100% in the Tim Cook era.
Oh yeah.
Like this makes Apple Maps look like somebody dropping a popsicle.
No, I agree, because Apple Maps, like, yeah, it wasn't great to begin with, but, like, it existed.
It was functional.
It was functional, and they worked really hard, and, like, they made it better pretty quickly. I feel like, I'm not saying that Apple Intelligence won't get better, but, like, it's really, like, they're taking their time.
The problem is, it's not so much making it better, it's making it exist in the first place. Yeah, like, it would be like if Apple Maps came out and it didn't have directions for the first year. That's whole point of it.
And if they advertise, I think the worst thing is if they advertise the new iPhone and they're like, the new iPhone with Apple Maps. And like that was, if they made a big deal, not like it doesn't really make sense, but like imagine if they made a big deal out of like, the new iPhone, what was the newest one? 5, 6?
The 5.
The new iPhone 5 built from the ground up for Apple Maps.
And they were like, this is going to replace your car. You don't need us. Remember your GPS system? Throw it away. Yeah. You don't need it anymore. It can't do navigation more than a mile away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like...
Navigation to California coming next year. Interstate navigation, future update.
No, that's exactly right. Because I feel like, at the end of the day, I didn't buy the iPhone 16 Pro Max for... Apple Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't either.
Nope.
I think most people probably didn't, but
right.
Or maybe that's not true. But I think a lot of people probably didn't care as much about that as you know, the fact that it's a new iPhone and it had some other features and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like the fact that they went this hard on the advertising and all of the advertising was about Apple Intelligence, and it was their tagline for the iPhone, and they have all the Genmoji billboards that are so disgusting, and I hate seeing those everywhere.
And the ad with the little, like, bubble cartoony voice where it's like, boom, boom, skeleton made out of shrooms. I hate ad.
It's like, like, the fact that it's all of that, that's like what they chose to focus the iPhone around. That's, I think, what makes it so bad. Because if it wasn't a big deal, if they didn't make such a big deal out of Apple Intelligence, and it was just kind of a feature that was there, I'd be like, whatever, I don't care about this feature in the first place. I'm not gonna use it. They can do whatever they want. I don't use Siri now. I'm not gonna use Apple Intelligence in the future. Maybe I will if it's
whatever.
Good, fine.
Sure.
But like the fact that
they tried to make it the selling point.
Yeah, and it's so not. And that's, I think that's like where it gets into like
and they're still at it. Like, okay, let's do an experiment. I'm going to go to apple.com and I want to see how long before it's, well, yeah, yeah, right, it's right at the there. Top. The literal first thing is Apple Intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then if we scroll down here, built for Apple Intelligence on the MacBook, which is even more laughable, by the way, because it's even more useless there.
Yeah.
And then built for Apple Intelligence on the iPad.
Apple Card built for Apple Intelligence.
It's not even built for tap to pay.
Yeah.
Stupid ass card. I can't believe they haven't updated it. And like when you go to the iPhone page, the first thing is the Siri animation. It is interesting though. They did tone it down since the class action lawsuits.
Hmm.
But it's still there.
And the first one, AI.
Yep, AI opening. AI opening, like possibilities. Opening. Very good. Very funny.
That's disgusting.
I want to look at this footnote. It says one. Let's go all the way down to the bottom here. The first footnote is Apple Intelligence is available in beta. God.
It's ridiculous.
Dude, it's been 7 months. 7 months. It is really interesting, though, how much they have toned down the Apple Intelligence stuff, because it was worse a couple of months ago.
That is true.
This is the closest that we will get to Apple ever apologizing. Seriously.
Yeah, which is... And they delisted. There was that ad with like Bella Ramsey or someone, and they delisted it because it was like about that personal context that still doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, well, here, look, that's the same animation. See how much more prominent it was, though? Because this is the launch animation. Very, very prominently built for Apple Intelligence. But you go to the homepage, it's a much smaller tagline now.
I mean, it's still there. It's still pretty big. It's still bright and colorful. But and then, of course, built for Apple Intelligence. That's the first thing.
Personal, private, powerful. It's really none of those things. I mean,
maybe
private.
Maybe. It's one for three.
We'll give
it
private. Good job, Tim.
Yeah.
You got it. You did it. Let's see. Let's take a closer look, shall we?
Not with that
color
scheme.
I hate the icon tints. I've never seen somebody with a good icon tint set.
Yeah.
Ooh, it spins, though. That's fun.
Whee!
And then we've got Strength Beauty Titanium. Okay, that's not new.
Yep.
Very good. These websites are so good.
Oh, boy.
And there it is. Okay. So, a new animation. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Cool, 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 cool.
Okay, so they've got writing tools, which is like the classic GPT feature.
Do you ever use those?
No.
No, me neither.
I don't want it to write. I want to write. I don't want it to write.
Yeah, and also, when it writes, it doesn't sound like a person.
I hate AI speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go on Twitter and all the comments on a popular post are written by AI and you read it and it's
you
like
can
so
tell
obvious.
Immediately.
And it's just the worst. Like it makes me want to gouge my eyes out.
It really does. I don't even know how to say it other than I think that AI is the worst thing that has happened to technology ever. Like think about the birth of the computer. Think about how it went from being in a room to being on your desk to being in your lap to being in your pocket to now being insufferable. That's it. I hate AI. And when I say that, people always say, well, but there's some stuff that's useful. Yes, I know. Yes, there are things that are useful about AI. I mean, there's an ad that I'm working on that'll come out at some point. I don't know. for it's like a noise canceling headphones, and they have like a thing you can record, and it can record and transcribe and summarize stuff. So if you have like a meeting, you can boop and you can record a phone call or whatever. And you see, the thing is, something like that is pretty minimal. AI transcriptions, summarizations, sure. That I don't really have a problem with. Same thing with like, even in you know, some video editing software, there's stuff for like editing podcasts where it'll switch cameras based on who's talking and it'll cut out blank space. Sure. But all of the useful implementations for AI that I have found are exactly that. Little tools that are just like a little plugin to make one small aspect easier. That is where AI is useful. But when you do stuff like this, when you're like, oh, AI can rewrite your email to make it sound more professional. No. It'll make it sound different. It'll come up with some words, sure. But it's not like, the problem is, no matter how good AI becomes, it is not thought. It will never replace thought. It can only imitate it, definitionally. And so it will always have that limitation.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the day when it's not the big obsession and we can just kind of go back to how things were.
It's been like 4 years now.
This one's been sticking around for a while.
I thought it was going to die out by now, but it seems to only be getting worse.
Yeah, so.
I mean, now they're using ChatGPT to influence trade policy, so.
Did you see that video of some guy that showed up to court and he's like an AI lawyer? And the judge immediately like...
Yes!
Oh my God.
Because obviously...
That was so funny.
And like, and even when there is something that is impressive that everybody talks about, like the new... I can't even remember which one it was, but there was that image generator that it's like actually photorealistic. Mm-hmm. And for like 3 days, everybody on Twitter was like, this is not a real photo. This was created by AI. Yeah. And I was like, bro, first of all, I don't really care that much. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't. Oh, wow. A photo of people that don't exist? My day has not changed at all.
Yeah.
Second of all, I cannot think of a single use for that technology that doesn't impose man-made horrors beyond my comprehension on the world. Seriously. What possible benefit is there of computer that can generate photorealistic images of things that aren't real?
You know what else I hate? And I know we're over time, so we'll
we'll
chill in a second. But I hate, have you seen those posts where they're like, this movie was generated with AI?
Yes!
And it's a bunch of like completely random clips.
And it's just like
Yeah, it's just clips of people like standing still.
Yes.
There's no dialogue. Yep. There's no scene. There's no composition. It's just like a bunch of random clips together, and they're like, this movie was made with AI. Like, it's not a fucking movie.
It's 47 seconds.
Yeah.
Every time the camera changed, the character looks different.
Yeah.
It's shit. It's all just utter shit.
And it's like, it's cool that a computer can do that, but like,
I guess
it's not that cool. It's like, it's cool. Not good.
It is less cool than people that make Minecraft computers.
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry.
It's like,
sorry.
It's cool that a computer can do that, but it has no like artistic value.
Nope.
It's just cool that like a computer is capable of like making something that looks like maybe kind of realistic, but usually they still don't look that realistic.
Exactly.
But it's like, but beyond like the like the novelty of it, it's like not worth anything.
And even when they do make stuff that is actually realistic, the only outcome of that is negative. If we ever do get to a point where you can just plug in an AI generate an actual movie, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's a really bad thing. Because, first of all, it's not... Nobody's getting paid to be a part of that. Do you know how many thousands of people work on content? Whether you hate Hollywood or not, I don't really care. That's a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. If you think their jobs is stupid, sure, that's your opinion. But it is a pretty big part of the economy and people's livelihoods, and it's probably not a good thing to have, you know, a random Redditor going in and just, oh, I'm going to just make a movie where she has big boobs and stuff. Like, that's all it's going to be, dude. That is all it's going to be. And it's still just imitating things that are real. We are going to get to a point, mark my words, where AI is going to only be able to use other AI to train itself. Mm. Like, right now we have, you know, 30 years worth of internet for it to pull from and replicate effectively. But there will come a time where AI is going to learn from AI, is going to learn from AI, and it's going to devolve very rapidly into, I mean, the dead internet theory is real, folks. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
Maybe that's how it ends. Like, right now, it's maybe kind of useful for some people, supposedly. But, like, when that happens, it's then, and the usability goes away, then maybe that's what will finally end it.
Hopefully. Oh, God. Please. I pray for the downfall of AI so incredibly badly. Because I think, legitimately, it could be so much more useful if we weren't trying to pretend that it was this crazy, insane thing that it isn't. It's not that mind-blowing and crazy. It was in 2022, and I thought it was cool. Mm-hmm. And it is useful. People use ChatGPT to get answers. Sure, fine. People use image generators. I question the premise, but fine. People use it for, like, Photoshop tools or for proofreading articles. All of those little background assistance features make sense. But this whole craze is just so out of proportion to its actual use and capability. It's on borrowed time.
Borrowed time.
Well, hey, look, we gave you guys a long one because we've been gone for a while. Yeah. And will we be on next week?
As in, like, in a few days?
I might not be on Sunday.
I also might not be.
Okay, so good.
We'll see about that.
Good, good, good.
Maybe not.
Well, but next Sunday, I mean, we wanted to give you guys this episode because we couldn't, Sunday would be weird. So, May 4th, I'll be here.
Yeah.
May 11th, I think I'll be here.
Yeah.
Okay, so look, we're going kind of back to... We'll be around.
We'll be here.
We'll be around.
Don't worry about it.
But as for now, I have been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Thank you for watching, and have a great Thursday night.